And now, Don Blackwell.
The judgment bar of God. It's something that many people rarely think about, but it's something that all people will one day face. The goal of the lesson today is to take us there in our minds and to get us to think very seriously and very soberly about the final judgment day that all men will face. But before we go to study the judgment bar of God, let us first notice some introductory material. By way of introduction, let us first notice that the Bible teaches that there will be a judgment. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." So friends, the fact is sustained that there will be a judgment. But before we stand at the judgment bar of God, there will be some things that we will have already experienced. We will have already witnessed the angelic creation. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31 says, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats." And so the Bible says, before I have my final judgment pronounced, that I will have witnessed the angelic creation. And the Bible says it will be all of the holy angels. You know, sometimes God has dispatched angels. Angels were sent to Lot to warn him about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Angels had a part in the giving of the Old Testament law, according to Galatians 3 and 19. Jacob wrestled with an angel. And so there have been times when God has sent angels. But friends, when the Lord comes again, it won't be with an angel. The city of God will be emptied of the angelic creation. And notice, the Bible says it will be all of the holy angels. That speaks to their character. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 says, "The angels that sinned were cast down to hell and delivered into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." But friends, when the Lord comes, the angels that will be with Him will be holy. They will share in the nature of the one whom they accompany. And the Bible says they will be mighty angels. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9 tell us that when Jesus shall come again, He will be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. Now, what does that mean? Friends, it means that these are powerful beings. And among these angels is one called the archangels. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13 says that when our Lord comes again, He will come with a shout and with the voice of the archangel. Now, to whom is Paul referring when he speaks of the archangel? Does he have in mind the one of whom Jude wrote in Jude 7 through 9 that he refers to by the name of Michael? If that's the case, then Michael will have a distinctive role to play at the time when the Lord comes again. Secondly, when our Lord comes again, I will have already experienced that voice and that shout of the archangel. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God." And Revelation 1:7 through 9 says, "Behold, He comes in the clouds, and every eye shall see Him." Friends, there will be no atheist in hell, because before we go to the judgment bar of God, every eye shall see the Lord. And so Paul wrote about the Lord in Romans 14 and 11, "Every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess God." Friends, there will be no atheist in hell, because before any sentencing is done, the Bible says every eye shall see Him. Thirdly, by way of introduction, let us notice that on that great day of judgment, on the day of the Lord, this earth on which we dwell will be burned up and destroyed. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein will be burned up." So by way of introduction, the Bible says there is going to be a judgment, and that before I stand at the judgment bar of God, I will have already witnessed the angelic creation. I will have already heard the shout and the voice of the archangel. And I will have already seen Christ coming in the clouds. And on that day, the day of the Lord, this earth is going to be burned up with a fervent heat. Now let's go to the judgment bar of God. Point number one. At the judgment bar of God, I will not be alone. Now someone asked, why do you say that? I say that because Matthew chapter 10 and verse 15 says the people of Sodom and Gomorrah are going to be there. Matthew 11 and 22 says the people of Tyre and Sidon are going to be there. Matthew 12, 41, the people of Nineveh to whom Jonah preached, they're going to be there. Verse 42 says, "The queen of the south, who said of Solomon the half, hath not been told." She is going to be there. 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 2, the living and the dead will be there. Revelation 20 and verse 12 says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." Acts 17, 31, "In the day in which God shall judge the world." What world? The world that God loved and for whom He gave His Son, John 3, 16. And 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Now notice, Sodom and Gomorrah, Tyre and Sidon, Nineveh, the queen of the south, the living, the dead, the small and the great, the world, and all will be there. So when I stand before the judgment bar of God, I will not be alone. But point number two, at the judgment bar of God, I will be alone. Now someone says, wait a minute, that's a contradiction. But rather than being a contradiction, it's actually the case that both of these statements are true. In the sense that everyone will be there, I will not be alone. But in the sense that I will be judged individually, I will be alone. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." But notice that then he transitions to say that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that which he has done, whether it be good or bad. Friends, as you stand at the judgment bar of God to receive your judgment, it will be as if you are the only person that God ever created. Friends, the judgment is going to be lonely. Don't ever forget that. There will be no comfort in the fact that we lived in a Christian nation. There will be no comfort in the fact that I was perhaps the member of a strong congregation of the Church of Christ. There will be no comfort in the fact that most of my family were Christians. We're not going to be judged that way. Friends, the judgment is personal. At the judgment bar of God, I will not be alone. At the judgment bar of God, I will be alone. Point number three. At the judgment bar of God, I will face my Lord. The Bible says, "The Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, and has given Him authority to execute judgment, because He is the Son of Man," John 5, 22 and 23. And so the Apostle Paul could say, "In the day in which God shall judge the secrets of men by Christ Jesus, according to the gospel," Romans 2 and 16. And so, on that great and final day, I will face my Lord. You know, sometimes in a courtroom, a man who has been guilty of some very serious crime, maybe guilty of rape or murder or some other very serious infraction, sometimes the reporter will say that the defendant never raised his head off of his chest. He would never look into the face of his victim or never look at the family. But friends, there's a day coming in which you are going to look into the face of Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes we sing a song, Face to Face with Christ my Savior. Very beautiful words to those who are faithful, but very sobering lyrics to those who are not. Friends, we're going to continue this study in our next set of lessons dealing with the judgment bar of God. But I'd like for you to turn your thoughts with me just a moment to consider the question, am I prepared to go to the judgment bar of God? Am I prepared to stand before the Lord, to have my eternal sentence pronounced upon me? Friends, you need to know that if you are not a member of the New Testament church, you're not prepared for that day. Only those who are a part of the Church of Christ and living faithfully are ready to meet the Lord in judgment. All others will be lost eternally. What then is involved in becoming a member of the Lord's church and being washed in His blood? The Bible teaches that a man must hear the gospel, Romans 10 and 14, and that upon hearing it, he must respond by believing it. Jesus said in John 8 and 24, if you believe not that I am He, you will die in your sins. Upon hearing it and believing it, a man must repent of his sins. Peter commanded those in Acts chapter 2, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Acts 17 and 30 says, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Then a man must confess his faith in Christ. Romans 10 and verse 10 says that with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And finally, a man must be baptized in water for the remission of sins. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Friends, at that point, Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 says, the Lord will add you to His church. And if you will live faithfully, you will be prepared to meet Him in judgment.